Welcome to Beautiful Chaos. I'm Erin Clark, and I am so thankful that you've joined me today on this adventure. Today, I'm just going to share a story of my life. Some pivotal big moments happened in my 16th year, and I thought I would just share one or two of them with you today. So my girls love hearing stories and adventures of my childhood. I was always getting into some sort of mischief or trouble, even from a very young age. I remember being 2 years old and we were visiting friends and their daughter and I went missing. I might have been three. And we went missing. They could not find us anywhere. Like hours go by and they still cannot find us. They finally call the police, and as they're looking for us, they've put out trying to figure out where these 2 3-year-olds might be, with clearly me as a ringleader. And they knew this because I was always getting this girl into trouble, even at that young age. I just loved mischief. I loved adventure. And all of a sudden, my sister looked up to a neighboring house and sees a little blonde head pop by the window. She's like, oh, it's Erin. They run over to the house, and the people had been on vacation, but they had left their slider door unlocked, I guess. And the daughter and I just went on an adventure, opened the sliding door, and we just had a great time in the house. We were testing out razors, trying food, plants were knocked over. We were fine in there. But that is kind of just a snapshot of the kinds of things that I got into even at a young age. I was outgoing. I said anything that popped into my mind, often making my mom red in the face. And my response was always, what? It's true. I just said what I believed to be true, and I didn't like to be told otherwise. Do you have any kids like that? I do. I have a 12-year-old that's turning 12 just this week. And as I look in her life and I reflect, I see the same tenacity. And those are hard in those early years when you are raising a strong-willed child that speaks their truth and is strong in that. But I am telling you, it is a gift. Yes, it needs to be refined and it needs to be guided, but it is a gift and it will serve them well in their coming years. And so as my daughter is approaching 12, I can see the fruits of those early years, those consistency of guidance, where now they're able to, starting at 12, they can self-regulate, they can figure out the areas to push. And usually it goes towards justice. And that's what I see in my child. And I've got two that would be along those same lines. And it is such a gift to see them be able to stand up against injustice, to stand up for what they believe is wrong, and have a voice. And so we don't want to, when we see a strong-willed child, or sometimes this tantrum, whatever it might look like, the one that speaks their mind and says the things. I remember one time my aunt was staying with us. She was a missionary and she would stay at our house for 6 months at a time, every couple years. And my parents had ordered pizza and my aunt went to pay for it. My mom was like, no, you don't need to. And I looked so confused and I was like, she's staying with us for a long time. It makes sense that she would pay for the pizza. Like, doesn't she owe us? And of course, that's so rude. And of course, I got disciplined for it. But it was like me just assessing the world and just seeing the logic and stuff. Like, of course, it's logical that she would pay. We've paid for everything else for her. So again, I was disciplined. Again, I was guided. But the discipline matches the where you're at. So in that instance, I would have my child write a letter or write a note to that person to apologize, whatever it might be. It's not just grounded in a room because I want them to learn from the discipline. So I was also that, but I was also the life of the party. I was willing to do anything for a laugh. I believed in justice and I would fight to my death against injustice. I wanted fairness for all, but it often just didn't seem to play out in my favor. Why? Because I was like a bull in a china shop. I didn't know how to refine and guide what I needed. So I would just come in hot and it would be like, whoa, who is this person? In grade 8, I won the role of yearbook editor. It was an honor and it was so exciting. And then my teacher made the decision to co-share the position with the girl that lost against me. And I'm like, what? No, there was a clear winner and a loser and I won. How would she get? I couldn't believe that he would do that. And I start believing truths about it. Well, he doesn't like me as much as her. I had won fair and square. Now I have to share with her. Again, I hadn't been refined yet and I lost it. I was so angry and I did not hold back my feelings. How dare he play favorites? My feelings don't matter, but he still let it stand. And I believed he did this because he didn't see me as competent or capable of completing the tasks, right? You start believing truths, whether they're true or not. So I set out in my nature to prove him wrong. And I fought every step of the way to ensure that my pages were better than hers. And they were. In my opinion, they definitely were. Did I mention also that I'm competitive? I'm not proud of these behaviors, these moments in time that I distinctly remember standing up. Again, not eloquently. I hadn't learned that yet. But all of these things, and you might have that child that is just so stressful right now that you don't know what to do or how to guide them. Stay consistent. Because as I look back, these moments were a pointer for the grit and the tenacity that I was going to need in the years to come. The year I turned 16 was the year I grew up. I have a 16-year-old right now, and I just pray to God that she does not have the same experiences as me. But yet in his mercy, if she does have moments, and she will, because we are living in a broken world, that she will stand up and she will fight and God will protect her. 16 was the year that my innocence of childhood diminished. There were 3 back-to-back experiences that changed my heart forever. I'm going to share the first one with you now. It was the fall leading into my 16th birthday. So I was still 15 at the time, and I began working in the diagnostic imaging department of our local hospital. It was part of my schooling. You could take the afternoon or the morning, and they acted towards like 2 credits or something. I'd always been intrigued by medicine, and after reading Dr. Ben Carson's book, Gifted Hands, I was set on becoming a pediatric surgeon. Oh man, I dreamed of it. It was never to be, because who knew you needed math and chemistry to be a surgeon? I loved every minute of being in the hospital, working. I worked hard. I developed film. Yep, we're old school. Literally in a room, I would have to fully develop the film from the x-rays. I would check patients in, file charts. My first day, I was introduced as Aaron, because that's my name, to a veteran radiologist, Dr. H, we'll call him. He looked me up and down, and he responded after being told my name was Aaron. He said, I'm going to call you Heather. I like you as a Heather better. I was like, okay, this is weird, but he's old, so we'll give him that. It wasn't much point in protest. He had decided, and he was my authority. I justified it as him just being old, and he needed to call me Heather. What's the harm? He said he liked my passion for learning, and he took me under his wing. He'd invite me to watch procedures. I passed out during my first observation. It was a barium enema. I'd been told to be seen and not heard. I am a rule follower. I didn't move. I just literally stood there frozen, below the weight of the heavy lead apron. I'm not even sure I blinked until the room got dark and fuzzy and I crashed to the floor with a thud. The next procedure he invited me into was called, and I don't even know if I'm going to pronounce this right, a hysterosalpingogram. Basically, dye is injected into the fallopian tube. Following this procedure, he asked me to follow him into the back room so that he could educate me on the procedure. Now, at this point, if your kids are listening aloud, maybe pause it and just wait for a moment. I felt it was odd as I thought he had explained it to me in the procedure as he was explaining it to the patient. I was like, what more do I need to know on this? A procedure I can't explain, can't even say. But I followed him outside the side door, which unbeknownst to me just led into a tiny dim cubicle room away from everyone. We were standing in close proximity. And even as I explain it right now, his face is just etched in my brain. He briefly began to explain the medical side, which was uncomfortable because it's about the female body and the reproductive system. Basically, this procedure shoots dye into the fallopian tubes. So obviously, it's through the female reproductive. Didn't feel right that he was speaking of such things just alone, just him and I. I'm already getting like my spidey senses up. And then all of a sudden, things took a turn. Again, if kids are in, then this is just the part. It's just a quick moment. He all of a sudden began to segue in great detail. I'm 15 years old, about him and I having intercourse together. What he would do, how it would make me feel. Alarm bells began to ring in my head. I knew I needed to flee. Flushed and without a word spoken, I literally fully pushed him and ran out the exit. I ran and I ran and I locked myself in the black room. And I just dropped to a heap on the floor and I just wept. And I wept. After some time, a nurse knocked to see if I was okay. She took me into the nurse's station and I explained what happened. And she said she was so sorry. That's just the way he is. He's done and said inappropriate things to the nurses, but there's just no use ruffling feathers. He had seniority and they needed their jobs. Now, as I picture this next part, just remember your strong-willed child. And remember that they are going to need skills. Don't leave them in strong will. Teach them the skills that they need. Because I remember clear as day yelling with indignation, this is not okay. It is not okay for you, and it's definitely not okay for me. I am 15 years old. I marched out of the nurse's lounge alone with no support of the nurses, and I went right into the chief of radiology's department, Tenacity. He asked if I was sure I'd heard him right. I replayed the words again to a grown man alone. From there, I was sent to the hospital's human resources department. After a long process and a hospital trial was set, I had to give my statements to a board of directors and answer any questions they had for me. And then he would do the same separate from me. I'm not sure if any of the nurses had the courage to give statements. It was his word against mine. Finally, the verdict came, and I was told he would be put on an early retirement and I would finish my semester. I never got an apology. I questioned many times throughout the years, had I overreacted? He was a doctor, for crying out loud. I was a child. Maybe I was mistaken. That cost a man his career. Was I too rash? None of the nurses thought it was an issue. Maybe I'm just too sensitive. Over 10 years later, Sienna hurt herself while we were in Ontario visiting my parents. I had to take her to the hospital for an X-ray. I walked into the radiology department and stood face to face with Dr. H. My heart stopped. All that he had said to Heather just came flooding back. I froze with my one-year-old in my arms and I just started crying. He had no recognition of who I was. The person that put him on an early retirement. The person that would have caused him stress. And he had no idea who I was. And in that moment, I knew I wasn't wrong. What he did was wrong, and I never needed to doubt or question the validity. No man should ever say those things to a woman or a girl. He was wrong, and I was done being the victim. I was the victor. I had been protected. My gut told me to run, and I wasn't going to let him have power over me anymore. I had been living in bondage. Well, he just went on and didn't even know who I was. And that night, I left the burden I had been carrying around for far too long at the foot of the cross. I gave it over to God to take care of in his just ways. And in that, I found freedom. That's just part one of three of moments of that year that were so impactful, but looking back just make me so proud, that make me go like, wow, my parents would have been overwhelmed with me, not knowing what to do with a strong-willed child who spoke their mind. And yet it is in those skills that I became strong and I became fierce. And I stood up against injustice for others and for myself. And so whether you were that child, whether you have that child, or whether you've just been carrying around a burden for far too long, give it over to Christ today. Spend some time just praying, asking God to take that away. He didn't just die on the cross for your sins, but he died on the cross for the sins that were put against you. Stop carrying the weight. Reach out, get counseling if you need something. And encourage your kids. Guide them. Don't be passive in their character. We need to be intentional. We need to be encouraging. How do we funnel our justice and all of these things to the right things? And so as I picture my own girls and I'm writing my life stories, I just am encouraged seeing the women that they become. They're not wallflowers. And they've had probably seasons where other people would be like, wow, that kid's fierce. But as we continue to train and guide and lead, it is going to be for a purpose. So today, be encouraged. Be encouraged. God's got you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your kids. And through him, you can overcome.